And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Culture is the culture. It's 4 to 6A to B, competitive excellence, and the brotherhood. The plan to win has never changed. So the culture here and the plan to win is always going to be here at Ohio State.
Welcome back to 4 to 6 with A&B, your Ohio State podcast brought to you by The Athletic. This is Bill Landis, joined by my best friend in the whole wide world, Ari Wasserman. Ari, how you doing?
Better now that you said that.
I miss you, good, bud. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing all right. It's hot as hell in Columbus. It's the hottest it's been, I think, since I've lived here.
You'll be surprised to hear that that's not a phenomenon that's only to Columbus people.
Yeah. I remember when I went to the opening in Dallas, when you and I were there together a couple years ago, I felt like that was the hottest I've ever been, like the hottest place I've ever been, and that is what Columbus feels like currently.
Yeah, we were out for lunch the other day, and when we walked to the car, you know, the thing that I didn't really consider when having a baby is that every single time you go in and out of your car on the weekends, it's a physical activity because you got to like carry stuff, and you got to, you know, have a stroller, and then you got to collapse a stroller, and then you got to open the door, and you got to figure out how to put the stroller into the thing, and the thing won't collapse, and it's like this whole song and dance every time we do it. And when it's 120 degrees outside and you're sweating your balls off, it's like the worst thing in the entire world. And it's like also, too, you got to be like scared because, like, you know, you want to get the baby out of the sun, so there's like inherent pressure to do it quickly. And then, you know me, if you've met me, whenever I'm under pressure to succeed in any sort of physical activity quickly, I get irritated and then it becomes harder and then I scream. And, you know, that's in the heat, it is especially hard.
Yeah. That I'm just picturing the look on your face when you have to do that.
I'm the kind of guy that like screams in his own hotel room when he can't shut his bag with the zipper. Like I get very, you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen you have to wait in line behind two people at like a Walmart. I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, no, I get kind of mad, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all improving day by day.
Yeah. Add it to the list is what I say.
That's right. I am especially looking for, this is probably like this coming week, I think, is the best week of like camps at Ohio State, I think, so far of the summer. At least it looks like it's like kind of setting up that way. Plus, there's a 7-on-7 camp on Thursday, and it's a big official visit weekend. So I'm looking forward to dropping, you know, 15, 20 pounds while I'm walking around the Woody this week, just pouring sweat.
I did the Lose It app that Andy's been talking about incessantly, and it's really cool. I'm losing some weight right now, and it seems to be kind of a sustainable thing. So you're talking to the person of a million failed diets. This is the latest one. Wish me luck. And when it's hot outside, take the tarp off, sweat a little bit, feel good about yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Listen, it'll be good for me in the long run. Lord knows I need to drop a few lbs. So I'm looking forward to getting in a workout by simply existing at the Woody this week. But
it is so freaking hot in that building when they do that. It's like
it's going to be so hot. Like I'm assuming everything's going to be inside at least like Tuesday and Wednesday,
which is almost worse.
It's like a greenhouse in there.
It is like a sauna in there because like everyone's sweating. It's hot. There's no air circulation. He just smells like sweat.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll all be in there
It's
together.
Moist everywhere.
It is moist, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it should be good. I'll have a story up on The Athletic on Tuesday kind of setting the table a little bit for this week. The official visit weekend, like Brandon Innes is going to be here. Like that's probably the biggest one. I had heard that perhaps Brock Glenn might try to get here this weekend as well. The quarterback that they just offered. Also, Novosad was just here this past weekend. Brock Glenn potentially coming this weekend. So that's kind of it's heating up a little bit there for the 2023 quarterback race. But then also with the camps too, like the Glenville guys are coming on Tuesday, which I'm really excited about because they have some dudes again. The PPI recruits, the European guys, the international guys are coming Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the group that had Hero Canoe last year. There's a couple guys there that I think maybe Ohio State could potentially get involved with some guys who have picked up some pretty big offers as they've toured the country. Some 2024 offensive linemen in state that I think are going to be important to Ohio State. So it's going to be a good week of camping, I think, but it's also going to be a loaded week, which is why we're recording on Monday and why we're going to, I think, mostly do mailbag today. We asked for some questions on Twitter via the email, via Apple 5-star reviews. So we didn't want to, you know, leave you guys with nothing while it's kind of a loaded week in terms of having to be places. So
did Jonel Aguero, he's going to Florida now, I saw.
I don't know. I think yes, and I don't know what the deal is with his Ohio State official visit because I think like initially I'd heard it was going to be in the fall. And then I think maybe some of the other Ohio State sites were reporting that it was going to be this weekend. So I'm actually not 100% sure what's
happening. Well, he just tweeted like an hour ago that he's going to Florida this weekend.
I thought he said he was going to Florida during the week. Didn't he say he was going
to Florida? Oh, maybe it's during the week. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought he said he was going to like Tuesday, like the weird midweek
official visit,
which does happen.
Yeah, okay. Well, then maybe he'll do the double dip. I don't know. But that's 2 5-star prospects potentially being on campus.
Yeah. I think Jaden Bonsu is another. He's not a 5-star, but like if you're trying to figure out like what's going on at safety, it's like
yeah.
They have a couple. They have Malik Hartford. They have Cedric Hawkins. But it's like Jaden Bonsu, Jonel Aguero. Obviously, Caleb Downs will be here at the end of the month. So some dominoes potentially falling there too. But yeah, that's – and I think Noah Rogers is going to be here this weekend, top 50-ish receiver.
Got to love the right. Noah Rogers-Brandon Innes like dual visit.
I'm wondering too – I actually don't know this. I probably should know this. So it's like Brandon Innes is going to be here and a couple other guys who are on his South Florida Express 7-on-7 team are going to be here this weekend for official visits, but I don't know if they're going to play in the 7-on-7 on Thursday, which would be sweet. I'd love to watch them, but I don't know if they're going to or not.
Did you see all the clips from the 7-on-7 that they had in Vegas this weekend?
Yeah, I've been watching some of them. Yeah.
Man, I wish I was there. I should have gone to that.
I was kind of surprised you weren't there, actually.
Yeah, you know what? From now on, like, I got to, like, just, you know, I've been kind of trigger shy for some of the visit requests because I didn't know, like, if I could pitch Vegas this week to go to there and then I'm going to California for 5 days for the Elite 11 at the end of the month. It's just like, if I wanted to, I could rack up $10,000 a month of travel expenses, you know? So I'm just trying to pick my spots. You know what I mean?
You're passing up some prime points opportunities there.
Yes. Yes. Well, I've created a new points hack, which is every time my wife goes on a trip, I just book her hotel stay that her company pays for under my reservation. And then I call the hotel and I say, hey, my wife is going to be there before me. Can you get her name on the room? They let her check in. I get the points and the night stays and we're like vibing right now.
Yeah. That's what, my wife is going to a bachelorette party in like 2 weeks and we did that. So
it's good for you.
All about hacking the system. Folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you
actually put your wife on your account? Like, I don't know the answer to that, but that would be an interesting thing to think about too.
Yeah, I don't know. We have different last names. I don't know. Might be a bit of a Might create more problem, more trouble than it's worth than just simply adding. But yeah, anyway, no one cares about that.
Yeah, they do. Why didn't your wife change her last name and then go?
Alliterative names are weird. I'll leave it at that.
What'd you say?
I said alliterative names are weird, which hers would have been had she taken my last name.
Well, she could have done the hyphen thing at least.
That's all. Yeah, it's a whole mouthful.
LKL. Yeah.
We should have just picked a totally different last name and both changed our last name to that.
Or you could have just combined them like I've seen some people do.
Oh.
Landmel or something is what it would be.
What if we just like, what if my name was just like Bill Rodriguez now?
Yeah.
We couldn't figure out what to do, so we just picked a random one.
I always thought that having the last name McAllister would be like a very powerful last name, and I think it's because of Home Alone and its impact on me as a kid.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong last name.
Yeah.
McAllister. Yeah. It's just kind of like, yeah, you think of someone who's important.
Yeah, it does.
That last name.
Yeah, running through an airport with a trench coat on. You know what I mean?
Ari McAllister.
It wouldn't work because my parents hit me with the first name that gives away my heritage pretty quickly. But, you know, we are what we are, I guess, Bill.
That's right. That's right. Should we jump into the mailbag?
Yeah. Yeah. What have we been going for, 10 minutes?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah. We've been recording this entire time, believe it or not. All right. This first question came from Tyler. He emailed it in 4to6ab@gmail.com. I think he actually sent this when the last time I wrote a mailbag, and I just didn't get to it because it kind of got in late. But I told him to send it again, and he sent it again. So here's the question. It's a little lengthy, so bear with me. Am I wrong in my feeling that Ohio State's offense is like James Harden? Harden puts up crazy numbers against low to mid-tier competition, but when he's actually challenged, he crumbles. Ohio State versus the top four defenses they faced last year, Oregon, Penn State, Nebraska, and Michigan, did not perform to the levels expected of what is considered an elite offense. I understand that it is tougher to excel against better teams. Some teams come in with a good game plan. Everyone has an off game, et cetera, but it doesn't feel like this offense, even with crazy efficient games against Minnesota, Purdue, and Michigan State, can be at the level of those amazing offenses we've seen in the past, 2019 LSU, 2020 Alabama, until they start to perform with more consistency against quality opponents. What needs to change in order for the offense to become more consistent and reach that level of elite? So I guess two parts. We can answer maybe what we think needs to change, but I'm wondering, Ari, if you agree with the premise at all.
You know, I don't know that I do, Bill. I mean, like, you're not going to score 50 points every week. But I do think that it is a very soul-cleansing thing to watch your favorite team drop 45 or 50 on a very good football team. Mm-hmm. The Penn State game is very strange because it's the same game every year. It's like the spread is 11 or 12. You think that Ohio State's going to win by two touchdowns, no problem, and they look like they have their heads up their ass for four quarters, and then they win an ugly game. Doesn't it kind of feel like that's the same game every year with them? I don't know if that's like an Ohio State thing or if that's a Penn State thing. Oregon had the ball and was running it down Ohio State's throats for a long – I would love to look at the time of possession stats of that game. And then Michigan was in the snow. So, like, I guess that kind of sounds like and Michigan also pounded Ohio State pretty good on the ground. I don't know if that sounds like I'm making excuses, but, like, I don't feel like I left any of Ohio State's losses last year feeling like, oh, the offense really let them down today.
I don't think – I'm trying to look at time.
Like, James Harden shits his pants. Like, do you think that, like, Ohio State shits its pants? No, like, there's some times where you're watching James Harden in the playoffs. I'm like, does this guy know what sport he's playing? Like, do you know what I mean by that? Like, when you're watching it, it's just like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know if I would ever go that far.
I watched the Sixers this year. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think I get where the question is coming from. I sort of agree with you that I don't know if there's like one thread through all of those games. And even like...
The one thread that you can make, Bill, is the running game.
Yes. Like, I pulled some numbers on those four games.
Okay.
So in those four games combined, they averaged 6.5 yards per play, which is like, if that were your season total, you're like a top 20 offense. They were 41% on third down in those games, which is like average. they did not run the ball well. It's like, I actually didn't average it out. I should have, but it's right around like 4 yards per carry in those games, which is not great. And also they were 6 for 16 scoring touchdowns in the red zone in those 4 games. So I do think the red zone thing is something, because it wasn't like it was last year. It was a struggle in their most important games, or their games against, they played against the best defenses. It was certainly a struggle when they lost to Clemson in 2019. They went 0-3. It was a struggle in 2020 when they messed around with Northwestern in the Big Ten championship. They went 2-for-7 scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So I think if you were to level like any kind of criticism against Ryan Day's offense that's been like somewhat consistent, maybe it's that. It's red zone production. Even though their overall numbers were very good his first year and like okay the other 2 years, it's not been great in the biggest games or against the best defenses. So I think maybe that's a little something, but I don't know.
But I also think, too, that not being able to run the ball or smash mouth efficiently the way that you know you would expect from an Ohio State offense plays a very big factor in red zone efficiency, too.
For sure, and not running the quarterback does too. Like they were awesome in 2019 because Justin Fields had like 10 rushing touchdowns that year, I think. And C.J. Stroud just not that guy. I wonder if he will be this year. And even in 2019, it was like Justin was really good running the ball, but then in 2019 he was playing on a bad knee and like kind of couldn't run all that well. And they didn't try to run him really in the red zone, and they went 0-for-3 down there. And if they score once, they probably win that game. So I think I get it from that sense. I think there are individual games where it becomes a little frustrating. But I don't know, like, even in the Nebraska game last year just felt like they, like, laid an egg, and in the past it's probably a game they would lose, but they didn't lose that game because Nebraska stinks. Like, the sleepwalk against a bad team on the road game, they just happened to win, even though they tried like hell to lose. Penn State, like you said, it sort of always feels like that. And I will give Brent Pry, who's no longer their defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach of Virginia Tech, like I would give him credit as the guy who seems to have come in against Ohio State with like the best game plan, like kind of consistently and giving them problems. So I don't know. Like I actually don't, like in Oregon, they averaged 7 yards per play. They were even 2-for-3 in the red zone in that game. They didn't run the ball well and they weren't good on third down. So I don't know. It's like not a, I guess if we were to point to one thing, or two things, it could be red zone and running the ball, which I guess maybe just sort of goes back to like overall physicality. But I wouldn't say that like Ohio State's offense is James Harden, but I kind of get where Tyler's coming from.
Yeah, I'm with him on it. I understand what he's saying, but I also think too that Ohio State loses so infrequently that like when it does, or it comes close to losing, it feels like the sky is falling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how many, like, would you be concerned about Ohio State's offense if they beat Michigan 28-26? Like, it's, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the fact that they came in losses. That's the problem. Yeah. And I feel like, too, it just, the idea overall, when it comes to, you know, the viewpoint of this team, I think is the characteristic that we talk about all the time of just, like, returning back to, like, the badass nature that some of the Urban teams had of just, like, we're physically better than you, we're bigger, we're stronger than you, and we're going to kick your ass. And it's like, I don't know if Ohio State's team on either side of the ball had that last year. Well, it didn't. So you add that into the mix when you have a quarterback like C.J. Stroud and the receivers that they have and Trey Henderson and all the tools, then I think it becomes a truly elite offense. You know, it's like, I think that, stop me if I'm wrong here, because like I don't want to spew a hot take. What was the best Ohio State offense in your mind during your time on the beat?
It's either 2014 or 2019.
Okay. Let me ask this question as a follow-up to that. Because having a great offense for an entire year-long period is like a different thing than like playing well at the right time. What was the best version of Ohio State's offense, the manifestation of it during a 2 or 3 game stretch that you've ever seen?
I kind of want to say, like, I would say like what they were against Clemson in the Sugar Bowl.
Okay, so would you take that over what they were in the national title run?
No.
It's just like weird because their quarterback was like not their typical quarterback.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Yeah, well, I think it was kind of similar. Like, it was like vertical down the field passing game, and we're going to run it up your ass. Yeah, so I think they're kind of the same thing.
Either way you slice it, you're picking up what I'm laying down here, right?
Yes, and I think I would probably take the national title run version because I'd rather have Zeke than Trey Sermon.
Yeah, and well, I don't know about that one that, game that Trey Sermon.
and I'd rather have the offensive line back then too.
Yeah, it seems to me that they're like, it's like, what could you fix the most? It's just like, the number one disappointment for me about Ohio State's football team last year wasn't the defense; it was the lack of production from the offensive line and the line that they should have had.
I still think it has to be the defense. Like, they were terrible.
No. I mean, the defense was terrible. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, like, we kind of knew that there was going to be issues there going into the year. So, like, that's true, should have been better. Like, I thought that last year's offensive line had the best chance to be the best line in Ohio State history, and they couldn't run the ball. So, like, my comment is not to say that the line was worse than the defense. It's just to say, like, the surprise of what it was in comparison to what it was to the expectations, it was pretty, you know, lackluster. So, you know.
I think that's right. Yeah, I agree
and
with that.
And I don't know if the tone of the entire team is based on how good your line is and how nasty it is. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think so. Like, I think that's, oh, I don't know. Isn't it like almost always a separating factor? Like, I don't, Ohio State's skill position is great and they're recruiting it as well as anybody. And I think I've said before, like, Michigan really couldn't cover Ohio State's receivers last year. It didn't matter because they were getting their ass kicked up front on both sides of the ball. So I just think that's where the difference is, in my opinion. Like, when you get into the games against good teams, that's where the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they weren't good enough on either side, and like, they were surprisingly deficient, I think, on the offensive line in some of those biggest games. So
it was strange. So yeah. I mean, we got a lot out of that question. That's right. I think that what Ohio State fans want to see is, look at all those offensive skill talent we have. Look at all the draft picks we have. Why don't they just go kick everyone's ass like LSU did 2 years ago?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to go back. I didn't have time because Tyler mentioned them in his question. Like, the quality of defenses that LSU played that year, I'd be interested to see. Ohio State played a couple of really good defenses last year, and that's not excuse making. Like, they still should have played better. But I'm just kind of curious what those defenses look like that LSU played against. I mean, it's still SEC talent, so even if the numbers aren't great, they're still playing against talented defenses.
Yeah, I don't really remember what it was, but I can probably assume that it's in a pretty good position based on the teams that they had to play that year.
Yeah, they were really good. But I don't even know.
I mean, also the players on the team were really good, too. So, like, you can go back and
Joe
look.
Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase.
And Ja'Marr Chase on the team. So it's like, of course they were good.
And they also had Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
But you also could go back and say, like, you had Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, they had Ohio State's had their guys. Like, guys is not the problem.
Ohio State had Justin Fields, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, like it worked out well.
The average draft position of those four guys is like 23rd in the draft. Yeah. So, or maybe probably even higher or better than that. Let's go to the next question. Kind of dovetails a little bit with line talk. More of a general thing from Jim Jones Jimbo. Left it via an Apple 5-star review. He asked, are linemen one-on-ones and no pads the most unbalanced camp drill out there? I don't think I've seen a single video from camp season of an offensive lineman winning a rep yet. Yes, and I agree with your assessment that it seems like the offensive linemen lose, like, all the time. I don't really know why. I was actually talking with someone on the coaching staff about this at the last camp I was at, and it was just like, I like watching those drills because you get to see guys move around, and I think there's something to the idea of, like, you get to see who's up for some physicality when you don't have any pads on. But I don't know if I put a ton of stock in, like, who actually wins the rep.
Do you ever go to a camp, not just fall camp, but like a high school camp or a camp that Ohio State hosts, and watch that drill and go, what are we doing here? Because I do.
Yeah.
I'll be standing there and be like, what are we learning from this?
Yes. Cause it's like, it's not mimicking real football. It's just hard. Like, there's no, I guess you can say this is also true for the offense, but like, the defensive lineman doesn't have to worry about anything except for trying to beat that guy on a pass rush rep. Like, he's not worrying about a pass fake. He's not, where there's no player he's actually going after. There's no play call. He's just like running through a guy, and you're not allowed to bull rush. And I think it takes some of the physicality out of it. Like, there's no like variance in snap counts. It's just like, you're just kind of teeing off.
Also, there is like probably something to do with leverage there. When you have like pads and a helmet, like, you can use your head. When somebody's bull rushing you, you know, you can get your hands underneath their.
Well, the other thing, yeah, it's like you're an offensive. You're an offensive.
You're not allowed to hold, but you have nothing to hold on to. Yeah,
because you can hold if you keep your hands inside the.
You're allowed to hold that.
You're allowed to hold a guy, like move him around.
Yeah,
that guy's rushing at you with no shirt on. Like, what are you supposed
to
do?
Grab his.
Grab him by the nips and see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I've always wondered that too. It's just, you know, and I feel bad too, because it's like they always get their ass kicked, and it's like, what are you supposed to, like, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, I think it's valuable to see like how fast a guy can like kick out and, you know, redirect and mirror a pass rusher. I think that stuff can be valuable, but again, like in terms of like who actually wins the rep, like I try not to get too caught up in that, because I think it heavily favors the defense.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I swear I didn't do this on purpose, but it's more questions about line play.
Sure.
I didn't. I usually try to mix up the topics, but this is a question from Joseph D. It was on Twitter. Interior line play is a strength for Notre Dame and is an area of concern for Ohio State. And I think he means Notre Dame's defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line. Do you think that is a concern going into the Notre Dame game? We did not get into this with Pete Sampson last week. I think we figured we'd save a lot of the football talk for closer to the game, but Joseph has this kind of front of mind for the opener, and I think it's a good question, because Notre Dame had like 40 something sacks last year, which was like, I think maybe 12 to 15 more than it had at any other point in the Brian Kelly era, and I think almost everyone who was responsible for that production is back. And Ohio State's offensive line looked suspect at times last year when it played like even formidable defensive lines. So I don't know. I think it's a fair concern. Where are you with that, Ari?
Yeah, I think it's a fair concern. I mean, you can't look at the game and just be like, well, Ohio State's better in all regard. You know, you got to find something, and like, you know, that's the number one thing that Ohio State's offense is having to kind of work through right now, you know, player positioning and like where they're going to line up and who's going to improve and if you're going to get what you're going to get out of the guys in the interior. I think it's an absolutely valid concern. Yeah. And hasn't Notre Dame typically had very good defensive lines?
Yeah, they're usually pretty good up front. I think they'll be pretty aggressive in that game too, in terms of blitzing and stuff like that with Marcus Freeman kind of running things. You have a returning starting center in Luke Whippler, who I thought was fairly solid for most of the year. Matthew Jones, like, you're not going to be messing around up there. Like, you know who your three interior guys are. It's Luke Whippler, Matthew Jones, and Donovan Jackson. I think that trio has a really good chance to be better than the trio they had last year. But without seeing, yeah, I think that's probably, I think that would probably be my number one concern if I were Ohio State going into that game. Like, it's your offensive line, which is going to have like basically three new starters, like two and a half new starters, with Parrish Johnson moving to tackle, Donovan Jackson starting at guard, Matthew Jones kind of playing full time after rotating in last year. Are they going to be ready for that? I think that's probably, if you're looking for an area where Notre Dame can maybe equalize things a little bit, that's where I would start. So
yeah.
It's not like overwhelmingly concerning, but I think that is number one on the list when you're trying to figure out the matchup.
Yep.
Our guy Quarantine King on Twitter. How much do you think CJ Hicks will play this coming season? Give me an exact snap count.
Let's just go from 1 to 10. Scale from 1 to 10. Hey.
Five?
Yeah.
Six?
Yeah. But like maybe backloaded?
Like, let me ask you this. Is there an opening for him to contribute in the way that Raekwon McMillan contributed as a true freshman? Which is basically like playing like half the snaps.
I think so.
I kind of think so too. Well, number one, they weren't very good there last year. And like even if you think like Steel Chambers is going to be better, and if you're a Tommy Eichenberg guy, which a lot of people in the program are, by the way, there's not like an established dude there.
Isn't CJ Hicks fast as shit?
Yes. The thing that Jim Knowles said that he likes about CJ Hicks is his short area quickness, which is probably not something you'd say about any linebacker
single there. Linebacker that Ohio State's had since 2006. Yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, if it were up to me, like I get, you know, Ralph Russo from the Associated Press.
I do know Ralph Russo from the Associated Press.
He texts me all the time and he thinks I'm an asshole because I always want to play really good players too soon. And maybe I am, but like, dude, if this kid is who we think he is, then I would play him, especially in a world where we're not necessarily sure about the linebacker production. That yep. said, I understand if Tommy Eichenberg or any of the other starters, Steel Chambers, were expecting a lot of really good things out of him this year. It's not as simple as just start the freshman. My point is that if he has it, don't not play him because he's young.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, I don't know, linebacker's really hard now with the way they pick on them with, like, RPOs and stuff, but I would just be in favor of having, like, a guy who's a pretty dynamic athlete and really fast out there, and even if he's learning on the job and making mistakes, like, let him make the mistakes fast, and I don't know. I'd rather have a guy with that.
Especially
kind of
considering the fact that Ohio State's probably playing in five to seven games in the first 5 to 7 games of the schedule that they're going to win by 30. So just like let them play.
Yeah, like the first one's a real one, obviously. Yeah. But then it's like, I don't know, Arkansas State, Toledo. They play Wisconsin early too, so I don't know. September's kind of tricky, but I think I think CJ Hicks is going to play a fair amount as a true freshman. And
the hope is that he flashes.
Yeah, and I think it could be a scenario like you alluded to where like it just keeps getting – his role keeps expanding as the season goes on and he gets his feet under him. I don't know. I have a hard time saying, like, yeah, this freshman's going to play a ton. This freshman's going to play a ton. But like they have not recruited a guy like this at this position in almost a decade.
45 years, yeah.
It's like since Raekwon, since 2014.
That turned out well,
too.
So.
And the last time that guy was here, he basically split reps at middle linebacker for a team that won the national championship. So I'm not saying CJ Hicks is going to do that, but I also don't think he's going to, like, ride the pine and only be a special teamer. I think he's going to play, like, I think, like, minimum – I think he'll play like, I don't know, like a third of the meaningful snaps at that position.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Does that seem high?
I think that's fair. No, I think that's right on target.
Because they only play two linebackers too, which is
makes it harder. But, yeah.
So Michael asked this question on Twitter, and I had to I looked up some stuff to like come up with a decent answer because I probably assume for you don't follow baseball particularly closely, and I don't really either unless I'm watching the Phillies. But he said the Phillies one. To avoid what is now a cliche for your show and not ask for a food comparison, if the 2022 Buckeyes were a Major League Baseball team, who would they be?
When I first read the question, I would be like, I thought it was like any like franchise, not just for this year, but just the franchise. I was like, are they not the Yankees?
Yeah, I guess if you want to think of franchise... Well, no, they're not the Yankees because the Yankees have the most championships.
No, they're the Yankees because they're like the sexiest symbol of like the sport. Everybody views them.
Alabama's the Yankees.
No, I don't know. The Yankees haven't won. What I was going to say is the Yankees have inexplicably not won a World Series in like 15 years.
I know the last time they won a World Series. It was 2009. They beat the Phillies.
I'm sorry, bud.
Sorry. Phillies won the year before
that. So 13 years ago.
Yeah. It's I guess if you do it that way, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like they are always supposed to be awesome. They pay a lot of money. They've got great uniforms. They're one of the most recognizable brands in the entire world, and they never win anything.
Yeah, so they're probably going to win that. Like the Yankees and the Mets, I think, are the best teams in baseball right now.
The Mets are?
Yeah, the Mets. There's two teams in Major League Baseball that have more than 40 wins, the Yankees and the Mets.
What? When did that happen?
Isn't it crazy? I know.
I haven't been following. I thought they were terrible.
No, the Mets.
Is like Noah Syndergaard back?
No, he doesn't play for them anymore. He plays for the Angels. But they have Max Scherzer.
Oh, that helps.
Yeah, he's awesome.
They've got Frankie Lindor, too.
They do have Frankie Lindor. They have the polar bear, Pete Alonso. I looked up some stats to come up with a good answer for this, and my answer is that...
Which is the most landest thing in the history of all mankind. Yeah.
The 2020 Ohio State Buckeyes are going to be the Dodgers. The Dodgers are, let me see here, they're second in OPS. They are fifth in slugging. They have scored the second most runs in the major leagues. But they're like more closer to like the middle defensively, like defensive runs saved. They're seventh. And I think that's more or less what Ohio State's going to be. Awesome on offense. Better on defense, not great on defense, but probably like good enough on defense. At least I think that's the hope. And the Dodgers are like the, I don't know, third best team in baseball, third or fourth best team in baseball right now, with upside to win a championship. And I think there are some people who think like Ohio State is the best team in the country coming into the season. I do not, because I think Alabama is, but I think Ohio State's probably second. Not flawed defensive team, but a less than dominant defensive team with a tremendous offense. Is who Ohio State is.
Well, yeah, you and I really go different directions on these types of questions.
Yeah.
I like the big, like, picture. And actually, their OPS is like, what the hell are we talking about?
You get both. Whatever
you get both.
For.
I know. Good.
You're
good
looking
team
for something more in depth. You got that. If you're looking for a bigger picture, they're the Yankees. Then you got that.
Okay.
I think that works well for everybody. All right. This question was from Peter. Inspired by the Notre Dame beat writers coming into town, imagine they have extra time for one lunch in Columbus and won't be back anytime soon. There's a lot of pressure. Where do you send them for lunch? Like North Market? Then pick whatever you want there.
I mean, it would have to be pizza. I mean, come on.
I probably would not send them to get pizza. It depends on what you want.
Like, what, is it going to be hot chicken takeover? Because, like, that's, like, good Nashville hot chicken, but not nearly as good as the real Nashville hot chicken?
I don't know if it's not nearly as good. I think it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
The hot chicken takeover, like, is as good as Hattie B's. And, like, I think Hattie B's is, like, considered, like, average in Nashville. I would maybe.
What I'm saying, like, it's not a good Columbus food recommendation because it's just Nashville hot chicken,
Columbus,
which isn't.
But Columbus doesn't really have like a thing. Like, I guess you could say the pizza, but that's like more of a Midwestern thing, isn't it?
No, I know, but there's certain places in Columbus that have, I think, very good pizza that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any pizza in Columbus that is that good that I would send them there if they had a time for one meal. I would send them like Brown Bag Deli or Katzinger's maybe if you want a sandwich.
But you can get a good corned beef sandwich in any city in America.
I would like to know what the corned beef situation is in like Fargo. I don't know if that's true.
Hold on a second.
I think good Jewish delis is
Jewish
hard to come
deli,
by.
Fargo.
If you're not on the East Coast somewhere.
Dude, the 10 best Jewish. There's a place called Burn Bombs in Fargo. That place slaps.
Let's go.
Dude, this place looks legit. Goal in life to go to Burn Bombs with you.
We can make that happen. I know it's like cliche. It's like a Columbus cliche, but I would maybe consider sending them to Thurman because it's like sort of a quintessential Columbus spot. And the burgers.
Have you been there a few times?
I've been there two or three times. Yeah,
I've only been there one time, and my burger was so soggy. I was just like so disappointed.
I think
it's because they put so much meat on the burger. I didn't even get the Therminator one either. I just got like a regular burger, and it was like I couldn't even pick it up without it falling apart. And I'm like, this is your god.
I think the structural integrity of the bread needs to be a little better for what they do. Yeah,
yeah. And I don't find that their meat is all that flavorful. Like I think
it's pretty solid.
I think that the thing it's a solid burger, but I think the reason why everybody talks about Thurman is because they put 9 patties on one. It's like that's not because it's big doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah,
you can get like a 10x10 In-N-Out burger would probably taste better to me than that.
Maybe.
Are we like getting to the conclusion that like you know what I would send them? Cap City Diner.
Oh yeah, Cap City is pretty good. Pretty diverse menu.
Pretty diverse menu, really good food, Columbus Institution.
Done. The meatloaf is tremendous there.
Have great you had meatloaf. Meatloaf. Yeah, not really good meatloaf. Great, great meatloaf.
I would send them to Urban's Pint House.
Yeah, just don't go at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Let's give them
after the NFL Sunday.
Don't get the shilly teeny. I hear it's not very good. Here is a question from Jonathan. And he asked
what you agree on a food question, by the way?
I think we came close to agreeing on a food question.
I've never been to Dirty Franks.
Dirty Franks is good.
What about Schmitz?
I don't love Schmitz. It's fine. I don't know if I'd send somebody there. What was I going
to
say?
Because when you send somebody to a restaurant, that's like your brand. You don't want to mess that up.
Yeah. Dirty Franks would be interesting. But it's like you have to, like, all they have is hot dogs, so you have to, like, really want a hot dog. But they have a fun menu there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never
I would send them, what the hell was the name of that restaurant? Oh, I'm so sad. I can't remember it. It's been closed forever. It was on High Street. It was a diner. It was great.
Oh. That weird diner that had like alternate types of food?
No. Man, why can't I remember the name of it now? That's so sad. I swear to God, I've been to this place 50 times. It's like the restaurant I've been to the most in Columbus, but it hasn't been open for like 3 years because it's closed now.
Is it by where I used to live?
No, it was on High Street, like next to One Line Coffee. Pretty sure.
Good Boy or something?
No, it began with a P, and it's really bothering me.
It'll come back to you.
It's really bothering me that I can't remember the name of it. No, Buckeye Donuts is whatever. If you want to eat a very average breakfast sandwich and pretty good donuts, I think that's not a bad place to go.
I know exactly what the place you're talking about is, too, and they had weird food.
There's another place, Press Grill, I think is good. There's one on High Street, and there's one in Grandview.
What about Planks?
Planks is good if you want a little sweetness with your pizza. Also, like a very cool place to go eat.
Yeah,
the one on Parsons.
What about Eddie George's? You know what? What about Jason's Deli?
I think you get a free ice cream going there.
Yeah. All right, I dragged you back into the question. When the other restaurant hits you, it'll hit you.
Oh my God! I'm so angry. I'm not going to sit here and try to remember it. It's bad podcasting.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, here's a question from Jonathan. Which elite programs do the best job of developing 3-star prospects to be drafted? Because he said, like, I did this story for 5-stars. To give you, like, the actual answer to this would take a whole lot of research. I think maybe we can maybe try to answer it a little more anecdotally. But I will say, I did, when I was doing the 5-star thing, I did look up the teams that had the most three-star prospects that became first-round picks in the last five drafts. And like Virginia Tech was first, which kind of shocked me. They had four. But Georgia was there. Alabama Philco. Was there. Philco, thank you. Thank you so much. Philco was great, but it's not open anymore. Virginia Tech, Georgia, Alabama were at the top of that list. Ohio State was like middle of the pack. But I don't know. I think maybe the answer to that question is probably it's the programs that develop the five stars the best too. It's like if you develop five stars, you can develop three stars. But the first program that kind of jumped to mind for me with this question was Clemson. And I don't know, do they still carry that reputation for you?
Yeah. I mean, you won national championships, but like, I don't know, like they win national championships because of Isaiah Simmons or they win it because of their quarterbacks, you know, like
yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think that they were very good at evaluating and, you know, part of the reason they were, their staffs have kind of dispersed now in the last year, but it's like which programs develop three-star prospects to be drafted is like different than which ones to be good. You know, like
yeah,
right. I would think of like a Northwestern maybe or an Iowa State or, you know, a team like that that's always super like maybe Wisconsin, but drafted is a completely – that's a numbers-based thing. That's like – I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, getting the most out of your talent to be like a good college football team and then getting those guys drafted are different.
Yes. But Clemson has certainly – would probably be the one that I would guess for drafted because they've had a ton of studs drafted and they haven't recruited as well as the other places that they've beaten on the national stage.
Yeah. I think that's right. I agree with that. Next question from Zachary. Biggest concern for next season, offensive line depth or stopping the run on defense? I think it's – I don't – offensive line depth is more like a coach thing. And like it's – I guess it's real, but – it's only real if someone goes down. So, like, stopping the run on defense can be a real problem no matter who's available because of how bad they were at it last year. So it's that for me. And, like, I'm not necessarily sure it's close. Good teams ran the ball straight up Ohio State's ass last year. And that cannot happen, that cannot happen again in 2022.
They lost two games because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just – it can't – they have to be more formidable than that.
Right up the tailpipe.
Sure. Yeah, just – yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest need in the 2024 recruiting class, second part of Zachary's question, offensive tackles or a top-tier running back?
Would you ever say anything other than offensive tackle?
I think if they like got
if they signed six offensive tackles in the 2023 class, would you still say offensive tackle?
Probably, but I'd at least think twice about it.
Dude, a stud running back is what really came to mind
for me. Yeah, because it's again, I like Mark Fletcher a lot, but when you go through a good chunk of the cycle thinking you're going to get Richard Young and now it looks like you're not going to get him, I think that's probably right. Now, if they somehow end up getting Justice Haynes this cycle, then that probably would change my answer.
Did you get two?
2024? Yeah. But I think it's running back and you want to see like a Trevion Henderson kind of hit, I think, in that class.
Right.
Because they didn't have one in 22. They're probably not going to have one in 23, so you probably need to get one in 2024. Although I will say running back, I think if you have like a good offensive line, you don't need a...
You've always said that.
Trevion Henderson.
You've always said that since the day I met you.
I just think it's true. I think it's true of football. I don't know. Like if Mayan Williams was Ohio State's starting running back right now...
I would think differently about their offense.
Would you?
Yeah.
I don't know that I would because everything I think about their offense that's good right now has like almost nothing to do with how they run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think having Trey Henderson as your running back changes your home run threat ability. Mayan had a few long touchdown runs. I mean, he scored a long touchdown run on the first series of the year last year.
Yeah, but, every single time Trey Henderson touches
the ball, he could house it. Like, I don't know that that's true for Mayan Williams.
Yeah, I don't think they're the same player. I think Trevion Henderson is much better than Mayan Williams, but... I also think their offense would be okay.
I also think that having in those big games, and this is the same debate that we've had over multiple things about whether JK was too slow or whatever, has always been a home run hitting guy can be the difference of winning or losing a playoff game. So, like, it's...
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't think Ohio State would be good. Like, I think they wouldn't be good anymore, but, like, I think having Trey Henderson back there, like, makes you, like... look around and go, there's no real inherent weakness except for whether or not they can figure out their offensive line.
Yeah. So I think it's running back. And ask me again, I guess, when this class in 23 finishes. But right now, I think it's running back. Although, if they miss on all their tackles, like if they don't get Olaus Allen in, they don't get Samson Okunlola, they don't get, like, who's the kid that just visited this over the weekend? Miles
Garrett.
Walker? No, Miles Garrett, yeah. Miles Walker visited over the weekend. Another kid whose name I'm going to butcher, I'm sure, Tosin Babalade, I don't know how you say his last name, is officially visiting this weekend. They don't get either of those guys, and they don't get Allen or Okunlola. Like, they didn't get, I don't like any of their top, like, seven tackle prospects in this class outside of Luke Montgomery, who might not be a tackle when he finally plays for Ohio State. So if they go through another cycle of that, then I think it's tackles almost no matter what happens with running back in this cycle. But I get running back in 2024 if you don't get another stud this year. Question from Nate. He addressed this to you, which I found a little disrespectful because I have had a Torchy's Taco or two in my day. He said Torchy's Tacos opens its first Central Ohio location later this week. What is the go-to order?
I think you've had Torchy's more than I have.
I'm almost certain of that.
I haven't gone to Torchy's since I moved here.
Yeah, I've had I've probably had Torchy's like a dozen times in my life.
The good news is there's only one answer to this question, so take it away. You know what it is? You remember what it's called?
The Trailer Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the Trailer Park taco, which is like a fried chicken taco. I get a trashy style with the queso because that's how Matthew Baldwin told me to order it. And then it told you to order it the next day.
Yeah.
when you went to do the same story on him when we weren't working together. Their queso is very
good. Did you have to say it that way?
What, when we weren't
working together? Like I'm second place or something?
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way.
I know.
You were second.
I was second. Yeah. They also have a very good fried shrimp taco, if you're into fried
Baja,
fish.
The Baja shrimp, yeah, it's pretty good.
Torchy's is, I remember when we first went to Torchy's, and that was like 5 years ago now, right? We always thought this type of taco place is exactly what Columbus needs, and they're getting one. Because yeah, I think it's better than Condado. Yeah,
I think Condado
does kind of suck.
And there's a, the one that's up in Cleveland is down here now too, which is just like a better version of Condado.
Yeah, it's the one that was in downtown by the ballpark.
Yeah, Barrio.
Barrio, yeah, everybody was obsessed with Barrio.
Yeah, which is like fine. I get there a lot when I lived in Cleveland, but I think Barrio is pretty good. I think Condado is not very good at all.
But this isn't like actual tacos the way that you would. They're tacos, but it's not like those places. This place has like a wiener on one of them. You know, like get like a sausage on it. Like,
yeah, it's not. It's like served in a tortilla.
But didn't you say it's going to be like just a window though, and not a restaurant?
No. So they were here as like a test kitchen that was like you can only order takeout on DoorDash, and then that closed a while ago. But they're building, I think, two brick and mortar stores here.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, one up by Polaris, and I think another one like on Sawmill Road. Like,
are you going to go out of your way to go to those places, those far away? Like, do you think Torchy's is good enough to get in your car and drive up to Sawmill?
Yeah, I think so.
That's like a 20-minute drive for you.
Yeah, but I would still do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Maybe I attend on the Gallows. Have you ever gone to Gallows?
Gallows is delicious. That is a really good one.
Gallows is good.
It's the location of my worst hangover in the history of man, or the place that gave me the worst hangover I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, I was like 25 and I was drinking Fat Tire like it was Bud Light. And the next morning, I honestly thought I was going to die. It was
I feel bloated now just hearing that.
It was a 24-hour hangover where it's like I needed two nights of sleep to get through it.
Yeah, I know those. I haven't, thankfully. Yeah. No, I had one of those when I was in Myrtle Beach.
Also, it was the night before I left Columbus to drive to Indianapolis for the NCAA tournament or something, or the Big Ten tournament. I had to cover a basketball tournament the next day.
That is, I think, maybe the worst combination is hungover and long drive.
No, I think hungover covering basketball tournament.
Okay, yeah, maybe we could add that on top.
I've driven many a road trip hungover, and if I can get like a nice ice-cold Mountain Dew, maybe a sandwich, and get that air conditioning going, I feel like that is the best thing I could possibly ask for, other than laying in bed, of course.
Yeah.
Don't you think a regular soda kills a hangover better than anything?
I think anything with bubbles does, but yeah. I like a nice Topo Chico when I'm hungover. Little seltzer for you.
Say the fat thing.
What fat thing?
Just, you know, the fatter thing is better. Like, there's no, don't tell me a Topo Chico is better than Mountain Dew.
Well, I don't like Mountain Dew, but I would
crush it. What? I didn't know that about you. Really?
Yeah, I don't love it. It's fine. Like, I'll drink it in a pinch, but I don't.
What's your favorite soft drink? Cherry Coke on draft?
Cherry Coke on draft. And then, number two is ginger ale, which might be kind of weird. But
that is kind of weird.
I like a fresh Canada Dry. That's good. That's the good stuff.
There's a show on FX. It's Zach Galifianakis. And
Baskets.
Have you ever watched it?
I have not.
No. In the first episode, he like goes up through a drive-thru, and he's at like, and then I was like, "What would you like to drink with your meal, sir?" And he's like, "I'll have a tab." And then like he's like asking for like all of these like obscure sodas that like don't advertise and like are just in the soda aisle still. And it's just like, I think he asked for Canada Dry, and it's like he like went down the list of like 15 like random.
Can I get a Verner's ginger ale, please?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, like it was really funny. It is also funny to me of like you think about how much money, and I think I saw a meme on this on Instagram the other day of like how much money Coke and Pepsi spend advertising their like brand. And it's like, have you ever seen an ad for Mug root beer? It's like it's just chilling there, just no. Mug remember, and what's the
Barks,
other
the Barks has Bite commercials, I remember those.
Yeah, Mugs and Barks just like going back and forth like in the root the anonymous root beer battle of the Coke root aisle.
Wars. Yeah.
Yeah, without any ad dollars backing it.
Another one of them hold a candle.
Sometimes it's like a regular, I mean, every regular soda in it, like when you want one, is refreshing, but McDonald's Coke is still the king.
McDonald's Coke and some of that electric Sprite, that'll get where you need to go. Yeah. All right, let's do the last question. This is from the Heim brother. It seems like the, quote, reasonable amount of time given to new head coaches tasked with turning around a program is around 3 years. I think I'd agree with that. What should be the reasonable amount of time for coordinators asked to do the same thing on one side of the ball?
Well, this is an interesting question because you would think, well, maybe 2 years or 3 years, but it's just like most of the time coaches get fired because they sucked at recruiting, and the person that needs to come in has to, like, revamp the entire roster. And it's like, when you fire a coordinator, it means that they were bad at coaching a lot of times, right? So it's like, to me, if you're paying, like, I think this is obviously directed around Jim Knowles. It's like, if you have those players, right. It's like, I think it's 1 year if you're getting paid $2 million.
I don't disagree. It's situational. Like, Jim Knowles, it took 3 years at Oklahoma State. They were not starting from a great place, and obviously it's the kind of program where I think you need to develop players in your system to get really good. Whereas at Ohio State, you're bringing in guys who are really good. Not to say they don't need to be developed, they do, but it just happens at a quicker pace. And also, like, they're bringing back a lot of guys who have played a lot of football. So I think it gets accelerated. That plus the expectations means it gets accelerated. So I don't think it's, like, hard and fast. You get 1 year, but I think, like, Jim Knowles making $2 million a year at a place like Ohio State, there's an expectation that you see dividends 1 year in, or in year one.
Yeah.
Like significant dividends, I think.
Yeah, like win a national championship or you suck.
Like this, your defense needs to be good enough that the offense can carry you to a national championship.
And he was hired understanding that too. It's not like an unfair, he knows what's up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best thing he said so far is, like, I know that I don't have 4 years to do this, or 3 years even. So reasonable on average, maybe not quite 1 year. I think reasonable in this situation, 1 year.
1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. Yeah. No pressure.
Good job, Dollaby.
It's 1 year. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the questions. We greatly appreciate it. Subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/4-6. Oh, I just made a horrifying face. Sorry.
I did it just to trip you up on your end.
Yeah, that's good. I should have looked at you. TheAthletic.com/4-6 can get you subscribed there. You can read our work. I'll have some stuff coming out of camp this week, no doubt. Still working on that Von Bell story I've talked about, and some other stuff coming down the pipe, too, that I'm excited about. So TheAthletic.com/4-6. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.